this stage is taller than last time I was here. So that's, I'm just going to set this down. Man, I have so many emotions going through me right now. Like, I'm trying really hard not to burst into tears. So I grew up in this church. There's a lot of faces here that are new, but there's a lot, like, the Fiedlers babysat me when I was a baby. I remember when they were building this church. And so always so emotional to come back, and so much gratitude and gratefulness, because we are doing what we're doing now because of you guys. Like, you guys have walked with us, walked with me for many years, and I was single. I've been continuing to walk with Hanu and I after we got married, and now with our three boys, and it's just, like, so emotional, so emotional. And it's such a privilege. It's such a privilege to be here, and I could sit here and say thank you for half an hour, and it wouldn't be enough to just let you guys know how much we appreciate you, your prayers, your support, and everything. And Jacqueline, how old are you?
20.
You're 20. Okay. Seeing you get prayed for, that was me 20 years ago. I came up here. I was going to YWAM for the first time, and I was trying to express what I was going to be doing, and I didn't know much about YWAM at the time. YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission, and it's for anyone young at heart wanting to serve the Lord. And I remember standing outside that door getting ready to come up, and I was so nervous, and God's like, you don't have to be nervous. And he just washed that nervousness away, and I was able to come up and share what God was putting on my heart to do for this and get prayed for and sent out. And it was John and Julie Kitchen at that time. They were sending us out, and you have no idea what is before you. You don't know where it's going to lead or where it's going to end, but walk like this and just let God do whatever. I've been to 15 nations. I've worked in everything from housekeeping to kitchen to welding, and I worked on a ship, and I sailed on across the ocean. You know, there's just nothing that he can't do in your life if you're willing to just let him. And all your dreams and desires, just continue to lay them at his feet, because he's got it. He's got you. He's got you covered. And you have an amazing family here that's going to walk with you through it. And I just want to encourage you. And I'm so excited that it's Youth Sunday, because we work with the missions organization called Youth with a Mission. And it is champion young people. They are the church of tomorrow, but they're the church of today too. And they need to be able to know that they have the ability to hear from the Lord and use their talents and gifts and develop those talents and gifts for his kingdom. And so I'm so excited. So all of you who are youth, who are worshiping and everything, we're so, so excited to see you taking a brave step and we as adults or older people, not necessarily like more mature, but as we need to be championing them. And this is an awesome example of championing youth and believing that they get vision from God and they hear from God and they can change the world through God's kingdom. And that's what Youth with a Mission is all about. And I don't have all morning. I have a half an hour. I feel like God's put something on my heart, but I really feel like I need to integrate it mix it up with actually telling our story. You know, like, oh my gosh. I have to tell you, I have been working on this sermon and praying about, like, what God wants me to share with you. And he is just wanting me to share with, like, he is a relational God, and we need to be relational people. And that's how he brings his kingdom. That's how he sees people come to him, is through relationship. And we have been part of this church for me, my whole life. Like, the reason I'm in missions is because this church is missions focused and mission sending church. And when I went into missions, there was the Christian Missionary Alliance way of going to missions, which is an awesome way, and there was not a whole lot else out there that I knew about. And so when this random flyer in the mail came that talked about Youth with a Mission in Kona, Hawaii, I was like, oh, sounds like it could be fun. So I went, and I had absolutely no idea the relationship that God wanted to have with me at that time and where he wanted to take me if I would just trust in his love for me and trust in his provision for me. And it's just been so exciting. I could tell story after story of being in a relationship with people that was wonderful and amazing, and being in a relationship with people that was really hard and challenging, but always, always God was faithfully walking beside me, walking me through the good and the challenging. And there's been times when I've been able to send an email to Jeannie or whoever else was in the office, or my mom, and get a prayer chain going. When I was in Honduras and a hurricane was about to like hit the island that I was living on, my mom freaked out, as you can imagine. And she got the prayer chain going. And you know what? That hurricane moved. We still got rain and wind from it, but we were not in the eye of the storm. Like, I just cannot express, like, what this church has... Here comes. What this church has meant to me growing up and championing me out in missions, and now my family, and we have three boys. And tell you what, having kids is one of the most challenging ministries I have done so far. One of the most rewarding, but again, it's about relationship. Am I willing to take the time away from the bigger things of ministry, would, if you would have that, say like preaching and teaching and traveling, to make sure that my kids grow up knowing who their father is? You know? And I need to know who my father is, and he is pursuing us, and he wants that relationship. Like, we look back at Genesis. You can turn there if you want to. It's really easy to find. It's right after the table of contents. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to necessarily read all of it, but Genesis 1 and 2. So we see God. God is a triune God. All three of them, they're in relationship together. God's very identity is relational. And they get to verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air.'" And then I'm going to jump a little bit down to 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish.'" And here we see, like, God wanted relationship, so he created, because God is who he is, he created people to have relationship with. And then if we jump to chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Then God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.' And as we know in the story, he makes woman." But we even see, like, later in that section, so from 18 down, I'm jumping around. I'm sorry, I'm so excited. So if I'm talking too fast, just be like, slow down, okay? I'm very excited. God is so cool. All right, so "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them." So here, God is sitting down, making sandcastles, if you will, of animals. And then he's giving them life. And he's saying, "Okay, Adam, now you name them." So that's a relationship right there. Like, he's like, "Let's do this together. This will be fun." So they do that. They do all of that creating, all of that naming. And not a single animal, I know we love our pets, not a single animal was a suitable helper for mankind. So he created woman out of Adam's flesh. And so they were made of the same substance. They were, you know. But I just think, like, from the very beginning, God is relational. He thought it was important to have a relationship with his creation. And he knew that his creation needed a relationship with other people. And that's also why they were told to fill the earth and subdue it. And I think so often, especially in the season of, like, isolation and making sure that we're not getting sick and loving each other in that way, it's a lot easier to be like, "Oh, you know what? It's me and God. We got this. It's me and God." And it's awesome. awesome to have that close relationship with God, but you need other people. And we see that God is a relational. Throughout Scripture, He works His plan through relationship with people to have relationship with other people. And because God is relational and we are to be like Him, we are made in His likeness, we cannot deny the fact we are relational. We have to be in relationship with people to be healthy people, to be healthy Christians, to see God's kingdom come. And so, like, and so God is it's so big. He's so relational. It's just, like I said, I was drowning in God's relationalness over the last couple days. And thankfully, my husband can sit there and be like, okay, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down. So I was able to, like, okay, this is something we can actually chew on and walk away and apply to our lives. So Adam, they walk in the garden together. They name the animals together. Noah, they build a boat together. You notice, have you ever built something with someone? You got to have a pretty good relationship to make that building, like, good, you know? This is how you build it, Noah. Okay. Well, I have this other idea about how to build a boat. He's never built a boat before. He's never seen water. So he's got to trust God in that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he made a covenant with them to create a people through this family line that would bring our Savior, Jesus Christ, to earth so that we would know what it was like to have a relationship with God. Like, that's the ultimate sacrifice. He gave His only Son. Jesus came knowing He was going to die so that He could create a pathway for us to have eternal relationship, not just like, well, we're here on earth, like relationship, but an eternal relationship with us, and that we could also share that with other people through relationship. Because there are times when you walk into people on the street and you start talking with them, people that you have no history with, and you can share the gospel with them and something happens, like the Holy Spirit's been working in them already, and you can see that. But you're creating a relationship, a connection. They're always going to remember you. If you lead them to the Lord at that moment, you're forever ingrained in their brain. There's a relationship that's been established. But a lot of discipleship happens through ongoing relationship in that time. And so much. So when I think of this church and what we've done and where I've been and everything, like, it's just so exciting to see how He's been so faithful. I left here. I did Youth with a Mission. I did the Disciples of Training School. I went to Nigeria and Ghana. I was there during September 11th, 2001. Our flight got delayed in Paris, actually. We couldn't leave the hotel. But and then we came back, and I joined another organization called Friendships International. I lived on a ship for 2.5 years. I did welding. There's a humanitarian aid organization. I helped sail the ship. I did lookout. I was on the midnight to 4 a.m. shift. Just like saying, yes, God, I will do what You want me to do. I want to fill the need because of this relationship that I had with Him. And then I went back to YWAM after that, and I did the School of Biblical Studies. And again, I was studying His Word. And I'm a perfectionist, so trying to get my work, trying to get my A's, trying to get my good grades, and to the T, and I'm sitting there studying God's Word, and God says to me, you're studying My Word. That's great. I love that you're doing that, but it's about relationship. You need to get out of your room and go in fellowship with your other students, other people on the campus, and be in relationship. He said, if you learn this and you do nothing, what you've learned is worthless. Amen. And I sat there thinking, okay. Now, most people will peg me as an extrovert because I'm expressive and I talk and I get up in front of people. But if you do those personality things, like, I'm still an introvert. Like, I still prefer alone time, which when you're a parent, you don't get much of that. Sorry. It's a dream of the past. And So here I'm doing something that I really felt like God was telling me to do, and it was really, really good. And he's whispering to me, get out of your room, spend time with people. That's how you're going to really experience grace and mercy and love and more of an understanding of your need for me and your need to know me. And I can do that. And so I did. I asked the people who were checking my homework, please don't put my grade on it. I can't see my grade because I can't detach my work from my grade. But if I don't see my grade, I'm doing the level of work that I need to do that God is saying, this is what I want you to do. And I'm also able to get out and have a relationship with people and let God work in me through those relationships and hopefully use me in those relationships as well. Because I don't have anything that's like my own. Everything that I am, everything that I have, everything I've experienced is because God is using me, not in a puppet type thing, but he is using me to bring his kingdom through who he made me to be. And if I hide in a room or if I'm not in a relationship with people because he's a relational God, I am not being obedient to who he created us as humankind to be. We were created to be in relationship. The other thing that's really cool about God is he's on a mission. And looking at the Great Commission, which is in, we don't have to turn there, but I did write it down so I wouldn't get the references wrong, if I can find it. So Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and then Mark 16, 15 through 16 talks about Jesus' final commandment before he leaves. He says, go out into, well, I should read it. I'll just read it because it'll slow me down for a second. Give me a chance to breathe. So that's not something I want to lose. Okay. Matthew. Just look at the Matthew one. Matthew 28. Because you basically say the same thing. That's the wrong page. Okay. Getting warm. I still hear some pages turning. There's some clicking, so. In my Bible, it's on 8:35, but I don't think that's going to help anybody. So, 19 and 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay. How do you make disciples? Yeah. Yeah. So he was saying that you tell them about Jesus and you share with them the gospel, and you might not harvest it, but someone else might. But it's also, it's through a relationship, right? You have a relationship with someone and you talk to them. And that's how you can share the gospel with them, right? Yeah. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I think sometimes as a missionary sending church, we send people out to the nations. I was in Thailand. I know Sarah and is in Laos, and the shoes were in Brazil, right? I'm trying to keep it all straight. And I know there's others out. Like Trevor and I grew up together. Like we had the same youth pastor, the same like call to missions. I remember him saying to me one time, he's like, I think God's calling you to missions. And I looked at him and I said, I will never be a missionary. Do you remember that? You don't remember that. We were up at Crown College. You remember Crown College? And I wanted to be a missionary sender and supporter. Like I didn't want to go overseas. But God can work through anything. that we forget that we need to bring the gospel here too, like to our own hometowns, to our own churches. Like, God speaks truth. And so this is his final commandment, the greatest commandment that, let me guess, I didn't actually get a reference for it. I didn't. Someone help me out. Where is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Someone have that reference that they... Oh, John Wyatt's finding it. He's looking. Okay. Well, I love this commandment. Love the Lord your God with our heart, mind, soul. Matthew 22:37. Yes, that is one place is Luke. Luke 10:27. It was one of those I was going to look for, and then another one popped in my head. Luke 10:27. Yes. And when we have that relationship with God and we believe what he says about us, we have confidence in who he created us to be. Because God speaks truth. And I think that for me, as I was preparing for this, I think the greatest problem we have with loving our neighbors is that we don't love ourselves. Because we don't believe what God has spoken to us about who we are in his word as his sons and his daughters. And when we can't love ourselves the way that God made us and the gifts we have, and we're comparing ourselves, well, they can sing better, or they're traveling, or, you know, like, I'm just a mom, or I'm just an accountant, or I'm just, you know, a checker at the grocery store. Like, we create a box of, like, God can't use me in this situation because it's just that someone else is doing the work. But God has you in that place for a specific person. Like, I had to do accounting in Thailand for a little while. I'm looking at Tammy because she does accounting stuff. And literally, I was pulling my hair out trying to, like, keep the numbers balanced. I'm like, this should be simple math. Like, I did graduate high school. But my numbers never worked out. But God always, like, we'd see how little we had at the beginning of the month, and he always covered everything for the campus there. And so that was, you know, always a faith testimony to me of it, but of his faithfulness in providing. But we need to love ourselves and who God made us to be as we are, not as we wish we could be or as we hope that someone else would, like, teach us. Or we think, oh, we just don't add up. You are enough with the way that God made you, because he made you that way. And he loves you, and he doesn't make mistakes. And when we can have that relationship, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and believe what he says about us, then loving our neighbor is not a huge pressure. It's loving the person you work with. It's showing them the gospel. And it's through a relationship that people know who we belong to. Where's that? That's in John 13. So you can turn to John 13 if you would like to. John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. The United States and the world are going through a tough season of really learning to love people where they're at. We aren't called to change people. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit working in them. But we are called to love people. And that can go into a whole lot of different realms I'm not going to go into, but through our love relationship with God and how we through us, I don't know if this is making sense if you're following me, through us he loves people where they're at. And through that, people get a glimpse of who God is, and they can come to him. Then they can know, and they, maybe they'll come to you and talk to you about who is this Jesus that you serve, or how do I get saved? And you have an answer for the hope that you have. But like I said, I was just drowning in God's relational love for me and for us and how we work in that. And it's just overwhelming and how he does that. And one of Youth with a Mission, their values, they have 18 core values. One of them is be relationship oriented, because we believe God works through relationship. And you can't see things like be team oriented. So you function in teams. If you're going to go out and you want to pioneer a new vision, they want you to have a team of people, not just by yourself. The places that go and just one person starting, they don't usually last so well. You need a team of people. You function in relationships, and you know God, and you make him known through relationships. And it's very exciting to see how that happens. And so in Wyoming, Montana, where Hanu and I have the privilege of serving, the last couple years, Hanu has been in charge of the facilities department. So they have an old U.S. Air Force base that they bought and converted into a youth campus, or a training missionary sending campus. Some people call it a base, but that I try to call it a campus, because we're training people to be missionaries, whether they are going back home to work in a sphere of society, or if they're going to go long-term overseas or just short-term overseas, so that they can know who they are in Christ, know who God is, and have confidence in that and walk forward. So when we were in Thailand, we were more receiving these teams that were sent out by the different YWAM campuses around the world. We would receive teams and we'd give them an experience of, like, this is what one way that we build a relationship and show Christ to the people of Thailand. We taught a lot of English. We worked with the local churches, the local ministries. We worked with a ministry that reached out to the women working in the red light districts. We reached out to churches who were working in small sea gypsy villages that were devastated by the tsunami in 2004. But we wanted to really help the local church be able to reach their people. And so we did that through relationship. We went into one school, and we first got there. So Dow is Southern Thai. She was our team leader. And she went into the school and said, we would like to teach English here. And one of the teachers was very, very short, very curt with her, which is not typical Thai culture. Thai culture is welcoming, everybody feel good. And she basically said, are you going to teach English or are you not going to teach English? Because we've had teams come who were Christian teams come, say they were going to teach English and not do that. They just come and they, you know, through the translator, preach the gospel to the students. Which, it's great that they're hearing the gospel, but they're not keeping their word that they're actually going to teach English to the students. And Dow said, yes, I am a Christian. We will teach English to your students. And so that teacher, I believe, was just kind of shattered all of us around when we would go and teach English to make sure we're teaching. We taught English. We did a really good job. And they started to break down those barriers of, like, keeping us at arm's length. And there was, It was shortly before we ended up actually leaving Thailand. That's what I'm trying to say. So we'd been serving down there for a few years, teaching English, where the teacher, the school that was very, like, hard on us at first, called up Dow and said, hey, so all of the teachers have to be in a teacher conference for the day. Can you and your team come and watch all of the students for the day? You can do whatever you want. You can preach the gospel to them. You can do whatever you want with them. But can you come and watch the kids so that we know they're going to be okay with you guys, that you're going to take care of them, and that we don't have to worry about them at all? And of course we said, yes, we went. And we showed Inside Out. You guys know that movie, Inside Out? Talks about emotions and stuff. In Thai to the students, and then we were able to share the gospel through that message to the students. And it was so exciting because in Thai culture, you suppress emotions. You don't share them. You just, like, always happy, smile at everything. But there's a whole lot going inside. You know, we all know that you can't bury emotions forever. Eventually, they explode. And so this was helping them understand how to express emotions healthily, but also how through that we can have a relationship with Jesus. And because we were able to face that challenging relationship together with this teacher and love her where she needed to be loved, not only her and the other teachers, but all the students in that school now have an idea of who Jesus is. We were not created to live in isolation. We are not created to be afraid of sickness. And I'm not saying be irresponsible and unloving and unkind when you're sick. Stay home. You know, but we can't let the world dictate who Jesus is and who God is. He is above all of it. And no matter someone's belief in politics or in COVID or in all these things that we're facing day to day, God is still over all of it. He's still in control. He's still loving people. He's still in relationship with us. He's speaking identity to us and to other people. And he is bringing his kingdom. I could go into story after story of how we're seeing God's kingdom come in Egypt because of teams that the campus is sending to Egypt, and how Honey was able to disciple people in the facilities department, mowing the lawn, shoveling snow, fixing broken pipes, fishing stuff out of the toilet that wasn't supposed to be in there. You know, like, that is missions too. Is seeing people pointed to Jesus and helping them in their relationship. I have to remember that every day with my boys. I have three boys, they're 3.5 years apart. And every day I'm asking God for grace just to get through that day with them, because I love them so much and I want them to know who Jesus is and I want them to see Jesus in me. And I know not all the time, so I reflect Jesus very well. but I ask for forgiveness, and I love them. And we're moving into a new season. We're really excited about this new season, and we have a relationship with the campus. And Honey is going to be doing the School Biblical Studies. It's a 9-month Bible course. It's the one that I did in 2006, 2007, where God was like, you can study by word, but you have to be in a relationship with people. So he's going to get the opportunity to do that for 9 months. And it's like literally 10 to 15 study hours a day. He basically writes a mini commentary on the Bible, reads every book 5 times. And there's big book weeks where you get like Isaiah or Genesis is a big book week. You have a week to do all of the work on it. And then the small book weeks, you get a new book Monday, another book Wednesday, another book Friday, and the assignments due the next day. So it's a lot of work. And so you can pray for grace on our family as we go into this new season of training and developing. And we're likely going to move more into the teaching and preaching avenue of ministry and training on the base instead of just like facilities and maintenance. I think you guys have grace. So we'll be moving from that aspect into the more training, being part of programs is what we're hoping, and just keeping our hands open to what God has for us in this new season. I have an opportunity to teach in one of the training programs this next month that I have to prepare for about cross-cultural relationships and working with a translator, because I have experience with that and a passion for it. And in Thai, they would say tuntén. That's the word for like excited and nervous. Tuntén. I get like that when I get to teach and share from God's word. So Esri and Silas will both be in preschool. Esri is so excited that he gets to help his brother get acquainted with preschool. Tavo's going to be home with me, which is going to be great to just have that a little bit more chill some mornings. And hoping to continue to be part of the mother's group, so they have a mom's group on campus so that the moms can get out of their home and fellowship. And so hopefully we'll have some platform for that. We're still trying to work it out because we had a lot of young moms, and then we got moms that have older kids, and you got to work out the timing on that. But to be able to like continue in those relationships, and even on a missionary campus where we are training equipping missionaries, we still need to be in relationship and sharpening each other. And that passage is in Proverbs, where iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, is Proverbs 27:17. Is that we need a relational God. Christianity is different from other world religions because of the relationship aspect. And we need to have relationships with other people. And it's challenging and it's exciting. And you just never know what to expect in the relationships that we have with people around us. And that's why the relationship with God is so sustaining and so so necessary. As we walk forward, we can walk in confidence of who God is, and we can share his love with people and pray that they see God's kingdom and God's character and nature through our lives. So it's 9:30. I'm supposed to stop. So I just want to share that if you would like to get our updates, I see a lot of new faces. Faces of people that I've known for a long time. If you don't have get our updates, I try to send out a monthly update or bi-monthly, depending on how crazy the month is. We send out pictures and just a quick update of what we've been doing and what God's been working in our lives with the boys. And you get to keep up on how cute our boys are. And also, there are different ways that you can support us if you feel led to give financially. Youth with a Mission is a fully self-supported organization. Nobody gets a salary. We all work full days, full weeks, full time. But we rely on the generosity of our friends and family to support Youth with a Mission Montana. And in turn, that comes to meet the needs that we face of our daily and monthly costs and things that come up that are unexpected. I know that you can give to the church and designate to Hanu and I if you would like to. There's also a website, which I forgot to give to Jeannie, so it's not up there, that we can give. And you can set up monthly support. You could do a one-time gift through there, too, if you would prefer to just do that way as well. But we are so blessed by you guys and so thankful and honored to be given this time and to be here. And I'm going to be here second service preaching, and then after the service there's going to be a lunch that is up there now. You can visit and fellowship with us. And we're so excited to meet you if we haven't met you before, and catch up with you.